Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Power to Be You and Rise to Win for our youth listeners. I am Sandra Bueno, and I am coming to you live from West Palm Beach, Florida. The purpose of this show is to raise awareness and bring empowerment and highlight those individuals who are making a difference and who are stepping up for change. And today's guest is an exceptional example of what this truly means when we look at what is taking place outside in our communities as well as our nation, and most especially in the lives of youth, and specifically those youth who are deemed as troubled youth, children who are part of the changes that are taking place in our country, in our communities, in our families. And my guest today is Mr. Jay Bonner, who truly is someone that I met a few years back and whom I have gotten to know through my quest to make a difference for youth. And what I have to first of all say to my guest is that I believe that you are an example and a role model to many people from different walks of life, people who are public servants as well as people who are business leaders, and most especially people who follow God. And I thank Jay for being on this show today. Jay, are you on the line?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, thank you very much. And I'd like to also welcome you on Power to Be You and Blog Talk Radio. And in addition to this, I'd like to read a brief biography about you so that our audience can get to know you as well. Jay is a volunteer of the Circuit 15 Juvenile Justice Board. Jay has demonstrated an ability to focus government and community leaders on the needs of our youth in the juvenile justice system. Jay has also worked with Palm Beach County legislators, Palm Beach County commissioners, and the Alternative Education Department for the School District of Palm Beach County to secure state funding for additional classroom space at the Palm Beach Regional Juvenile Detention Center. Mr. Bonner launched the Circuit 15 Faith and Community Network in January of 2007. The purpose was to raise awareness and to address the needs of the youth and their families entering the juvenile justice system. In January 2008, Mr. Bonner received the Edith Bush Community Service Award from the Martin Luther King Jr. Coordinating Committee in appreciation for outstanding community service. Mr. Bonner also runs his own business, Sunshine Surveyors, that has provided land surveying services and construction layout in Palm Beach County for over 21 years. As if all this were not enough, Mr. Bonner also teaches a teen Sunday school class, sings on the praise team at the North Lake Boulevard Church of the Nazarene in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, and he is also a husband for and has been one for 23 years, and above all this, he is an exceptional role model to what it is to really bring and highlight awareness, cooperation, contribution, and growth. So, Mr. Bonner, thank you.
Well, Sandra, thank you for allowing me the opportunity to be able to come on to your radio show and to talk about the passion that I have for our children and to hopefully be able to encourage your radio audience and maybe to basically give hope and to those of us that are actually in the field trying to make a difference in the lives of our children. I'm really excited about the relationship that you and I have gained through working with the Department of Juvenile Justice and the juvenile justice system, and I'm really looking forward to the events and opportunities that the future is going to bring with both of us working together.
And what I would say is it's really that. It's working together, and my background is different than your background. However, we both have this passion, and here we have found common ground to be able to bring and help one another. And I feel that this is what really is taking place today in our community as well as our nation, that we are being called to say, okay, what is the issue and what are the solutions? And alone we may not have as much strength as we do together. And that is why for me, I mean, I have had incredible guests on this show. And when I can have someone like yourself who has really worked within the system that represents a lot of the issues, but also represents the lives of these children who are there, who are at many times, you know, a casualty, I could say, of circumstance or, you know, a result of so many things going happening in their lives that they had no, at times they didn't have control over it. Well, now that it's before you, well, what do we do? How do we make a difference? What can we bring in? And I feel that you represent a lot of this because you do get to see it from so many different angles.
Well, I was very fortunate in that I had a very strong family background, being that my mom and dad are still alive and that they're still together as a family, of a very strong family support system. And unfortunately, many of our youth do not have that support system. You could say that in my teenage years, I was the rebel. And growing up in the late 60s, early 70s, it was a very rebellious time period. And I could say that basically I took the wrong step and went down the wrong path. But I had a secure source to be able to come back to, and that was my family. And I had a mother that never stopped praying for me. And through her prayers and through the investment that others have made in my life, I turned around my life. And so I look at in terms of here I am in the latter years of my life with an opportunity to give back to our community. And I basically, as a businessman, I looked at in terms of, you know, how can I help? How can I support? And I started out primarily with an initiative in trying to create communities of character. And so I tried to basically bring forth a community educational program about character and how important character and character development is in our lives personally. Working with the Palm Beach County School District Character Education Program, our company, we formed a not-for-profit agency, the Character Council of Palm Beach County, which the purpose of was to be the public end of the school district's character education campaign. And in doing so, what we basically did was we went out to the community and we tried to take the six pillars of character that the school district of Palm Beach County had adopted and basically make the community and government and those around in our community aware that this school district actually has a character campaign. And we've been very successful as a not-for-profit. We've been able to get the United Way of Palm Beach County involved with the character program. And basically, in the corporate world, we have dissolved the Character Council because the United Way of Palm Beach County has taken on that character initiative. But that was the beginning launch of my involvement in terms of community and community activism and getting involved in the lives of kids.
So what would you say, because I'm looking at it from the standpoint of, okay, to give the audience a perspective of how they can come in and participate, how can they get not just started, but how can they follow or tag along or come and contribute? Because where we are, it's really about not starting over, but about taking what's already there and perhaps improving it or extending it. What can you suggest, or what is your experience behind this?
Well, the interesting thing is that I came to understand that in my life that all authority is of God. And if you would basically embrace authority, and that means by in your local community governments, in your schools, in your public officials that are dealing on the legislators' ends, that if you would come to them and ask them, you know, in terms of what their needs are, how can I help, how can I be a part of in terms of what you know of, and then gain a passion and a desire for that, and then let that passion drive you. There is so much need right now. You know, we think that in terms that government's going to be the solution. Well, they're part of the solution, but the main solution comes from the citizens that take an active role in their community and basically address the needs of those that are around. I was introduced basically in this campaign for promoting character. I was introduced to the Department of Juvenile Justice by one of the city commissioners that was on the DJJ board. And I came into the Department of Juvenile Justice and basically brought to them a character education program. And we did some trainings and some promotions, and I had the tremendous opportunity to actually have ability to be in front of kids that are basically, you know, in trouble, that have been arrested and have been put into the juvenile justice system, and to basically just talk to them about these principles of character. And it just opened the whole window in terms of opportunity to my life. It just changed my whole perspective. So for the audience, in terms of getting involved, is basically to, you know, just to find your passion, find out those things that your desire is in, and then going to your legislative or your administrators or the authorities in your community and ask, how can you help?
And not be afraid about what's on the other side.
Oh, absolutely not. You know, the interesting thing, and this is something that I had to deal with, is that, you know, I seem to put my elected officials some like on a pedestal, you know, because they are, you know, elected officials, but realistically speaking, they're just like us. They're just struggling just like we are. They have wants and desires just like we do, and they know that they don't have all the answers, and they're really looking for the community to rise up. And this is one of the things that's very excited about the time that we're in right now, is because the community is actually becoming aware of their role that they need to end up playing. And so to be able to ride this wave of excitement in terms about getting involved with your community, it's just a great time to be in right now.
So you used three words that I love, to rise up, because my whole purpose is Rise to Win for our youth, and it's all based on the premise that the framework for the community needs to be in place, and the framework has to come from educators, legislators, nonprofits, and the ministry working together. And I know that your experience, and I believe so many of the, you know, the people outside can relate to, there's so much disparity between organizations, whether it is a religious organization or whether it is just, you know, a platform where a lot of people come together, that people in the past were working on their own, and each one had their own agenda, even though they might be representing the same, you know, the same interest as it is in this case. Here we're all representing the interest of the youth, but yet so much is continues happening. What are we going to do? You know, yourself have information that, you know, that can really open up the eyes to everyone on the outside, because you have internal information of things that are going to happen if certain things don't happen, or, you know, plans on the way, which can really motivate people to say, wow, I didn't realize, I didn't know.
One of the things that's very exciting about Florida and about the decisions that our leadership in the Department of Juvenile Justice has made up in Tallahassee is that they launched an initiative to engage the faith community in being part of the system. It has been scientifically discerned through our education that religiosity is a protective factor that helps keep kids out of the juvenile justice system. So they've been very active in terms of engaging the faith community. The problem that's been involved in that is that government cannot promote a faith, an initiative. And so in order for a faith initiative to actually be in government, although the door may be open, you have to have individuals that are outside of government that will actually end up walking through the door. And that's primarily in terms of what I'm doing right now. And in doing so, we launched the Circuit 15, Circuit 15 being all of Palm Beach County Judicial Circuit in the state of Florida, Circuit 15 Faith and Community Network. And we're working in terms of trying to rally the existing resources that exist in our community, be it faith and community resources, to make themselves available to the Department of Juvenile Justice for the needs of the parents that come in through the doors every single day. We're looking at, in Palm Beach County, about 35 kids. We have a population of over 1.3 million. So we're looking at roughly about 35 kids a day that are arrested and entered into the juvenile justice system. And the question is, you know, who's going to help, who's going to assist these kids? And in this economic environment that we're in right now, and the potential budget crisis of what's been estimated now of $2.8 billion budget reduction for the state of Florida, where's the programs are going to come from that are going to end up helping and assisting these kids? And really it's going to have to come from the community, and it's going to have to happen from a grassroots level. And so we have been, through the Circuit 15 Juvenile Justice Board, we've been looking at ways to be able to bring these community resources together. And we're in the process right now of launching a faith and community website, which would basically give faith and community partners an opportunity to register themselves online so that their name, location, the programs, the issues, that the subject type services that they would end up being able to offer the community would be available online, that we would be able to have access to them through, and we're talking about have access, you're talking about in terms of the courts, you're talking in terms of juvenile probation officers, you're talking in terms of law enforcement officers, you're talking in terms of school district counselors and teachers, to be able to go online and to be able to access these resources in one spot, to be able to gain the community equity that's really necessary to change the lives of kids.
See, this to me is it is. It's pertinent, and it needs to be. I see you as, I use the term bridging the gap, and I use that term to create the programs going forward. I use that term to create the communication between parents and youth, you know, between parents and themselves, between people and their own spirit. However, I see you as a bridging the gap, you know, entity between what you just mentioned. You mentioned the juvenile probation officers, you know, the school district, the teachers, because, and even in the faith, I believe, is what's allowing this to mix, because everyone can attest to the fact that without that faith and without that spirit and without the purpose that we have as human beings, you know, we've lost so much. And in order to help these youth and in order to help create a change amongst the families and amongst the foundation, there has to be a higher entity, you know, for us to be able to lean upon. And I know that recently I went to Dillard High School, where the young, the 15-year-old girl had shot the other girl. And when I spoke with the counselor, the first thing she said to me was, ever since they took God away from our schools, we have lost all ability to speak to our kids and to help them. You know, and as an outsider, I'm kind of like, okay, how do we come in? How do we bring this, and how can we bring faith? How can we bring encouragement? How can we teach something different?
Well, that's where we have been very fortunate, because what we're looking at is that we've reached a point in our government and in our leadership to where they are starting to recognize that faith does play a part. It used to be in the latter years that the last thing that we wanted was to end up having God in our country, and so we created these no-God zones, being in terms of our school system, in terms of our judicial system, and this has failed tremendously. And what's happening is that those that are in leadership that are recognizing the error of their ways are now looking and struggling for how do we end up turning the tide around? How do we end up making bringing the faith back into the community, back into our society, when we have bounded ourselves as leaders in terms of making this happen? And that's why it is so important in today's environment and today's culture that men and women would actually, of faith, would actually end up stepping up and taking the banner back into our government. We have been very fortunate here in Palm Beach County and also across the state, in that we've come to the point that we've recognized that we do need faith partners to be involved in terms of bringing forth change. And they have been very welcome in terms of the faith initiative that we've launched here in Palm Beach County. And it's not an easy task, because basically it's, you know, you're trying to herd a huge chasm or a huge vat of resources that's in our community that, like you said earlier, are all acting independently, and to try to end up bringing them all together to work together as a team when there's so much diversity in culture, so much diversity in terms of function. And it's a huge monumental task, but we have looked at it in terms of it's got to be done, and if it's not done, who's going to do it, you know? And if it's not us, who? So it's it's taken us time. You know, you look at it on a short period and you think, gosh, nothing's accomplished. But when you look at it on the long period, you go, wow, we've come so far. So you just got to keep on keeping on.
Well, it's, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with John Maxwell. Well, he's also a pastor, but he's an author. I mean, he's authored more than 50 books, world-renowned, and he's he's one of the teaching pastors at the church that I attend, Christ Fellowship. And one of the things that he writes in his book is when you are a leader, if you know you're being kicked in the backside, then you know you're leading. And oftentimes, with what you just mentioned, there has to be, you know, I feel that this is how you are, you know, and this is how I am, and we're stepping out, and there are so many different and diverse pieces to this puzzle that requires someone to have that vision and that ability to see the bigger picture. And like you, I do believe it is people, you know, who are coming from the faith-based community, business community, that are, their purpose is to serve, and they come from a place of, okay, we have balance, and how are we doing, and how are we serving? And it's not just looking at the bottom line, because if our purpose is to look at the bottom line and say, okay, what's our return on investment, then we can serve from a place where God would want us to serve. For example, working with at-risk youth. You know, there's no money in that unless you have a grant. Now, everyone's vying for the same grant. So, again, how are you going to serve and do what you say you're going to do and help those who really need the service without you being caught up in the sense of, well, what's in it for me? And who else can do it, you know, than someone who believes in, I need to serve God first, I need to do what's right as a human being, and I need to help those that need the help.
Sandra, the pay is greater than money. And once you've had the experience and the opportunity to actually end up making a difference in the life of a child and to actually see the light come on and to see them actually change and to know that you've had an impact in being able to, you know, change a life and to change a direction, not just on that child, but on the future generations that will come from that individual. It's much better than money. You know, I used to, as a businessman, I've been successful, and I used to spend a lot of time playing golf, and I used to spend a lot of time fishing. But I can tell you that the work that I am doing, the volunteer time that I'm giving to be able to help my community in the area of the Department of Juvenile Justice is greater than the best golf game that I've ever played and is more exciting than holding on to that sailfish that I've held on to in the past. And I can't explain it. I mean, the juice that just comes from the gift and seeing it received from that child and having that joy in that child. To give you an example, Thanksgiving, I had a phone call Thanksgiving from a young man that's now 25 years old that I had the great opportunity to be able to assist in his life for a short period of time. And when he was reflecting on the Thanksgiving, he called me up and said, thank you, Mr. Bonner. As I'm reflecting through my life, those that have impacted my life, you've been one that has made a difference. And I'm just in this time of Thanksgiving, I'm just calling you to just say thanks. And I'm sitting back and I'm going, wow, I mean, what greater Thanksgiving gift could you ever end up getting would be in terms of some young man that you basically, you know, maybe not even knew that you made a difference in, to call back and say thank you. And, I mean, you can't buy that. That's not something that you can pay for. That's a gift of love given to one and then another one coming back and giving it back to you. It's just, you just can't pay for that.
And I was going to ask you if you could give me an example of where you have come across and you know, have been able to know the effect of the services that you have provided. There is just so much right now that people can do. And what I'd like to ask you is, from your perspective going forward, what would you say is really needed? What can people do? What can we all engage in if we're to come in one platform? What can you suggest so that other things won't happen down the road for these children?
One of the very important things is that the government itself is very limited in terms of what it can end up doing. For instance, in the state of Florida, we have the Sunshine Law. So in order to be able for for one representative to be able to talk to another representative. They have to do so in a public meeting. And what happens is that for an idea and a concept to really go forward, you need to end up having somebody that's outside of government to be the water bearer, the one that actually goes in between and basically stands in the gap and promotes the issue. The perfect example of that is what just happened on Friday, and this is what I wanted to explain to you in terms of something that's really exciting. We're dealing with, in Palm Beach County, a crisis in terms of a building that houses our juvenile assessment center that is going to be demolished in 2011 for the expansion of the airport. And in our economic environment that we're at, there's no money to build or to replace that building. And the Juvenile Assessment Center is that facility that our law enforcement officers take and arrested youth to, where the state's attorney's office and then the Department of Juvenile Justice makes a visual assessment and a record assessment in terms of the severity of the crime and makes a determination of whether we can release that kid back to the parents or whether we need to hold that kid for the pending hearing. And it's a building that basically is the assessment center for our youth in all of Palm Beach County, and that building is disappearing. And I was at a legislative delegation meeting on Friday and sat there and listened to our Congressman Ron Klein outline in terms of the stimulus package that's being proposed in Washington, D.C. And as I was sitting there next to one of our legislative assistants to one of our state senators, I turned to her and I said, look, that sounds like we could end up being able to apply for funding for the replacement of the Juvenile Assessment Center. And she looked at me and said, yes. And so I had a three-minute window of opportunity to address the legislative delegation, changed my speech, and basically said, did you hear what I heard? And that there's a potential that we can end up being able to build or receive money from the federal stimulation plan to be able to replace this building. And the legislators all looked at me and they said, yeah. And the light came on, and you're in this public hearing, and the light came on, and I'm in the process, as soon as I hang up from this radio show, to continue on working with our U.S. senator, a congressman, and state and local representatives in terms of putting together a package that could possibly end up fitting in the federal stimulus plan. And to pull that together, you need to have somebody outside of government actually put all those pieces together. And that's, I guess, what my job is for today.
See, that is very exciting to me because right away, like you said, it goes again. Someone's light comes on, they share what they need to share, then the next person's lights come on, and my light came on right when you were telling me what you were telling me. Because this is how we're able to bring in change and permanent change, sustainable change, by linking up the forces, linking up the abilities, linking up the education. You know, people who are working within the constraints of because I would say constraints, like you said, legislators, commissioners, all of our governmental figures, they need to adhere to a certain standard of how they're going to behave with one another, how they're, you just mentioned that example, even just to communicate, they need to do it in a public forum. Now, when we have information that can benefit, bottom line, the kids directly, how can we get it to them if we are not having the permission from the parents or from the educators or from the legislators? So by working together, we're able to all have some input and say, well, this is what can help. This is what I can bring on my end. This is where we can, create an intervention and a prevention, a system through which these children don't have to continue going down that ravine that they've known in the past as the court system or the juvenile, system. So I'm excited as well.
Everything is relationships. And it was not something that immediately, I walked into the Department of Juvenile Justice and I said, here I am. I've been involved with the juvenile justice system for years, and basically have gained through my gift and giving of time to the department, have gained a respect and a trust and a value of what my input is. And that trust and that does not happen immediately. And you've got to. I want to encourage your listening audience that to get involved with your community government and to get involved with the leaders that are there, and to recognize that it's not going to happen automatically. That it's not just one meeting that you attend. It's several meetings. It's maybe even actually getting on the boards and on the committees that are established in your communities that are there to make a change. And the investment of your time and your energy is a value. See. When I stood in front of the legislators, we're talking Palm Beach County has 11 representatives and 6 state senators, and the majority of those were in attendance. I knew them, and they knew me, and I was talking to them as you know, they know me as Jay, and I know them as their first name also, and that takes time to be able to gain that type of relationship with your representatives and to have a trust with them. And you know, it's a place where I've been put, and I thank the Lord for that. And well, I'll tell you what, there's so much that needs to be done.
Well, Jay, I know I like I said in the beginning, one of the biggest things that I see about you is that public servant, and you definitely embody, you know, a person with great integrity and a person who truly adheres to principles and character and authenticity. And like you said, you know, it takes a lot of time to build this equity with the governing figures and for those people who want to really, you know, get on board and be a part of change and contribute. There is, you know, it is about building those relationships, and it's also about, you know, not starting over, but getting and supporting other people who are already on that road. So I thank you for joining us. I thank you for having been here and sharing just the excitement and the fact that there is hope and that there are solutions and that people are working together to rise, you know, to a different level. And we are at a place in time where it is a wave, and it is about rising to win and making a difference. So Jay, it has been a pleasure. I thank you, and I look forward to all the work that we are going to be able to do here in our community and hopefully across the nation.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Jay. Ladies and gentlemen, it has been Jay Bonner on Power to Be You and Rise to Win for Our Youth. I am Sandra Bueno, and please tune in this entire week as I will be continuing to bring about individuals, leaders, coaches, and persons who are making a difference, who are stepping out to raise awareness, to bring empowerment, and to make a difference for themselves, for our community, for our youth.